Medium Talk.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of Medium Talk with Rodimus Prime. This is the official interview spinoff show of The Black Guy Who Tips, where I go out and find a host of interesting people that I would like to talk to, and hopefully the audience would like to hear from. The person that I went out and got today is somebody that caught my eye and all of my friends' eyes when we were watching TV one day on a Friday. We were watching, I think it's called Axis is the name of the channel. We saw a mixed martial arts fight, and it was a bunch of brothers, a lot of black dudes, and full disclosure, and we all said, "Who is that?" And it was Alana Jones. At that point, we watched like one more fight. And I said, I wonder if I could find this lady and interview her, because we're all admiring her skills in the ring and whatnot. And I was able to track her down. Alana, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really glad I was able to pull this off. My friends are going to be so jealous and envious of me. first of all, can you just kind of talk about what exactly it is that you do?
Well, I'm a professional fighter in mixed martial arts. Been fighting for almost 4 years now. And just, I enjoy every minute of it. You know, it's a great, great sport.
Now, how did you get into fighting? Was this something you grew up doing? Or, and like, what were you doing before you decided to do it, you know, professionally?
I just grew up watching a lot on, watching it on TV and stuff, and I got into fighting for the exercise of it, you know. Then I was locked in into the gym. I was like over 200 pounds, so I figured I needed to get in shape, and I figured it would be the way to get in shape. And then plus I see my brothers going into an MMA gym, and I just walked in there and asked, "Hey, you guys train girls?" And they said yes. I mean, what got me into fighting this is like the whole rush of it was just great. You know, going to amateur shows and watching my younger brother fight just got me more into it and made me stay more dedicated to it. And plus, the MMA has changed my life in so many positive ways. You know, it got me down, helped me lose all the weight that I need to lose, you know, gave me the self-confidence myself, and I just, you know, couldn't leave it alone after that.
Now, you said your younger brother was fighting also. What's his name?
His name is Victor Jones. They call him, he's called the Bone Crusher.
Okay.
The Bone Crusher.
I like that. That's intimidating.
Bone Crusher.
Yeah, y'all, like, that's the thing too, is everybody has such cool nicknames, and I really love your nickname, Hands of Stone. I think that is so cool. How'd you get that nickname?
I went through so many nicknames, like different people were calling me. They were calling me the Beast, and I didn't really care for that one too much. One of my friends out of Detroit, I call him a chef because he cooks really good food. but he's like, "I'm going to call you Hands of Stone." And he just started calling me Hands of Stone out of the blue. And I'm like, man, I like that. You know, I'm going to stick with that because that rhymes with my last name. I think that's good.
Yeah.
So I just stuck with the name, and everybody's been calling me that ever since.
Well, now, did you grow up, and maybe not, I'm not saying like officially in the ring or maybe wrestling or whatever, but like, did you grow up like kind of, you know, roughhousing, or grow up like fighting? Because a couple things. One, you're from the D, so, you know, I've recognized that. And then two, like, it, you know, our society is kind of like, well, girls shouldn't be fighting, you know, you got to work your things out through your words. And there's so much, like, you know, stigma on the idea of a lady getting physical in just about any aspect. So did you grow up, you know, like in a situation where you were fighting?
No, not really. I was always fighting with my brothers. I got four of them, so I grew up with them, and I would get literally in fist fights with my two younger brothers. So, I mean, I fought them, but not really like fighting on the street. No, I've never been in a street fight like that. I mean, I was always quiet, wanting to stay to myself, so that way no trouble came my way. So, I've never been in like a street fight. I always used to wrestle around with my brothers to fight with them.
So mostly just for the big piece of chicken at the dinner table, yeah. I had to throw,
yeah, I guess so.
You throw a couple hands, you know, it gets real.
You know, them breaking my Barbie dolls, and I have to, you know, get physical with that.
Now,
I used to love doing it.
Now, what about now? If like somebody stepped to you on the street, would you be like, oh, I know, you know, I do this for a living now. I got, you know, I'll break you up. Or would you be like,
No, I'm not like that at all. I don't, like, if somebody came up to me like that, I'm a more person that's trying to talk my way out of it instead of trying to get physical. Cause I believe there's ways of getting around, argument or anything than, a physical fight. I don't try and fight anybody. I'm nice. I'm too nice for all that. And everybody knows I'm a nice person. And I haven't even had encounters like that anyways.
Okay.
Everybody know I'm a fighter. Ain't nobody gonna come up and pick a fight with me. Not with hands of stone. No.
Right. I was more, you know, I was thinking like maybe if, you know, that was a good sale on a, you know, how it gets on those clearance racks. You know, you go in there. Every once in a while somebody try to pop off and, you know, it's like,
right.
If I had,
but
you know.
If they pop off, I might have to pop back.
Right. You know, if I had the ability to break somebody up, you know, I might do it. I'm not saying I would, but I was just wondering. I'm not as tempted because, you know, I'm not a professional fighter, but I think if I was, you know, probably, but actually if I was, I'd probably be looking for any reason to fight just to show off, to be like, oh, you're not going to share your gum? You know?
No, I'm always trying to be nice to everybody. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. So, I'm only a fighter when I'm in a cage.
So did like learning, to, you know, to fight and training, did it kind of bring you like a, like even more like peace and even more like, you know, the ability to like, to gain like perspective on things when you're trying so hard to achieve something?
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was hard though, starting out, and then I'm starting out at 200 pounds, and then it was hard at first, but like, I mean, going in the gym for me is like, it's all I think about is training. I don't think about nothing else. It's like I enter a new world. I mean, every little thing that I stress about or just life struggle stuff, you know, I don't think about none of that stuff in the gym. So that's why it made me really fall in love with the sport, because what it did for me mentally, it kept me focused on what I need to do. And I mean, I just love it for that.
So you were 200 pounds, Alana?
Yes.
Wow.
200 pounds. I mean, I got some fat pictures of me on Facebook. Just, you know.
That's crazy, man. And it's crazy how, you know, you're able to retain like a feminine figure too, because, you know, I watch some of these fights and, you know, sometimes, you know, no shade at these other fighters, but you know, sometimes I'll be like, she, you know, she's toned up a little too much or whatever. But is that like, is that a goal for you where you're like, I want to, you know, lose more weight, get more toned up and, you know, and all that stuff? Or do you feel like you're at a good place right now?
I'm at a good place right now. I'm happy with my body and the way it looks. I mean, the only weight that I'm trying to get to now is to fight at is 125. But, you know, right now I fight at 135. But I'm pretty, like, I'm happy from where I look. And, I mean, I'm in good enough shape as girls that super tone. You know, I don't need all that. So,
okay.
I'm
glad you said that, because I didn't want to compliment you on how you look and then you'd be like, I need to lose like 10 more pounds, and then I'll feel like a jerk. But so also I was looking at you know, on your Facebook page, is one of your arms like casted up right now? You have a cast on your—
Yes.
what happened?
Yes. In the fight against Holly Holm, she threw a threw a kick at me, and I blocked it with my arm, and it fractured a bone.
Oh.
Just lower than my wrist, it fractured it, so I had to wear the cast for 6 weeks.
Oh, I watched that fight. When was that kick? Was that earlier in the round, or was that?
It was earlier in. It was probably early in the second round. It was first take hit attempt she tried, and I blocked that one.
Oh,
and
I remember that kick.
Cut me in the arm.
Oh man, that's crazy. Cause see, now that, you know, the KO kind of makes more sense. Cause I wouldn't have, put my arm back up again if it was broke, man. Like, she would have just had to hit me.
Yeah, I watched the fight and I seen how I dropped it a little bit after I, you know, I did feel it in the fight, but I wasn't, you know, when I'm in a fight, I ain't paying attention to pain or anything. I'm just trying to go. So.
Dang, man, you tough. I've been running around like a little man.
Nah. You don't feel no pain when you're in there.
So are you?
Nothing.
So do you like that adrenaline rush in the, you know, in the arena, in the octagon or whatnot? Like, is that a big part of it?
It's the greatest thing. Any fighter will tell you it's the greatest thing. You're just in there and you just want to just knock somebody's face off. And that's all you're thinking about, you know. Me, I'm in there. I'm thinking about winning, you know, winning however I can. I just want to win.
Now, you all, like, have you ever done anything like on stage or in front of people before? Like, have you ever done anything where, you know, people have come to see Alana Jones do whatever it is before this?
No, I'm shy. I'm shy. The only thing I found that really I could do something in front of, like, a lot of people, because Legacy was sold out with a lot of people there, is fighting. Because, like, when I'm in the cage, I don't think about who's on the outside of it. You know, I'm just focused on who's on the inside with me. And it's like you go in tunnel vision. So you don't notice the outside of the cage. You just notice that one person right there, and that's the person you take out. And that's how it is.
Wow. Now, how?
But I've never, like, standing in front of people and talking and stuff, I'm, like, really super shy. When I first fought at CFA, they had the cameras, and I had to do, like, the interview. My first time there, I was so nervous and shy. I've never did that before. So, I mean, it's a good experience for me to get used to, but I'm really shy.
Well, so then when you do your interviews and stuff like that, do you not, like, talk trash about the other fighters so you can, like, hype up people to watch the fight?
No, I don't talk trash about anybody. And I got a lot of respect for anybody that does a sport, because it takes a lot to do it. I'm not a trash talker, you know. I believe in letting my skills speak for itself. I don't need to talk trash and tell that person, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'm this and I'm that. I'm not that type of person. I'm too nice for all that. You know, I'm humble and until it's time to lock the gates and then it's.
Well, you know, because I was going to say, like, when I watched you fight Fallon Fox, you cracked me up because you came out to do Looks Like a Lady. And I don't know if I've ever laughed so hard before. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so good.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if, you know, that was like a thing where, you know, because I think it takes a lot of humor to even, you know, think of something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I didn't say anything bad about Fallon Fox. I was, you know, I don't hate her, you know, she made her life choices, her business. I don't judge people.
Right.
But, you know, the song spoke for itself.
Yeah. Well, even getting it, I feel like, when it comes to a fight, even getting in the ring with somebody is showing, mutual respect, especially, you know, in mixed martial arts. You know, I know in boxing sometimes it's just like, well, I can get paid or whatever, but, you know, I feel like with mixed martial arts there's a lot of, like, respect being shown on both parties normally.
The whole art of it is respect. You know, you don't learn it to go out and use it on the streets to try to beat people up. You know, the mixed martial arts teaches that, and that's why you see it, like, a lot of, like, people in the cage, whoever fights, have respect or they touch gloves, you know, and that's just a different situation. When the other person was talking a bunch of stuff and then makes the other person mad, but it's all mutual respect.
Yeah, it's crazy too, because sometimes like I watch some of the guy fights and like Chael Sonnen will be talking like the most trash, and then like after they fight, no matter the outcome, it's always like, you know, thank you, and you know, good job out there, and yeah, all this stuff. And I'm like, man, that's amazing, because I feel like if you talk that kind of trash about me, I would want to fight you for the rest of your life, like inside the ring.
It's all about the hype, really.
Yeah, well, hey, if you ever need some advice on how to talk trash to people, now I don't know anything about fighting, but I do know how to talk some shit, so if you just, you know, put it on Facebook or something, and I'll give you some things to say about these ladies, we'll get the pot stirred.
All right, I'll remember that.
Now, how do you think being from Detroit helps, you know, in the ring, or does it have any effect on you at all, like coming from Detroit? Because that's a city that is known for, you know, boxing and being tough and bankruptcy too, but, you know, we don't have to talk about that. but you know, how do you think being from Detroit affects you?
I mean, growing up in some of the neighborhoods, even, I also grew up in Inkster too. Most of my friends from Inkster, but friends from Detroit. But, mm-hmm, you know, you grow up in those rough neighborhoods and you see things, and I think it just automatically makes anybody tough that grows up there. You know, you gotta be tough growing up there. And then me growing up with four brothers, I had no choice but to be a tough girl. So, I mean, it does have its effect. I mean, that's why I feel like I could take a good punch, you know, and just keep going. So, yeah, it does have an effect of it.
Yeah, I went to Detroit before. I used to rap back in the day, and we went to Detroit and we were performing. And I do remember being like, man, I am a little bit scared in the city. Like anything could pop off, you know, but I feel like if I lived there all the time, it would just make me tougher, you know, but since I was only there for the weekend, I was just scared. now the other thing too,
yeah, I mean, if you're down there a lot, then you've got to get tough.
Yeah, I feel right.
You gotta give that look, like, don't mess with me look.
Exactly. We, when we were there, the toughest thing that happened to us was, some transvestite prostitutes tried to pick us up, and we said no, and that was the toughest. Yeah, that was the toughest thing that happened that weekend. I was like, no, thank you, ma'am or sir.
Are y'all on Michigan Avenue?
Say that again, Alana.
I said, were y'all on Michigan Avenue when that happened?
We were on, I want to say, 9 Mile Road or something like that. It was a hotel. Okay. But yeah, they were pretty aggressive. You know, it got. Got kind of tense there. They lowered that bass in that voice. I said, hold up, man. Sir, back up off me. What is your turnaround time between fights? Because it felt like I saw the Fallon Fox fight, and I swear, I mean, I'm sure it was longer, but it felt like I turned on the TV 2 Fridays later and you were fighting Holly Holm.
It depends on the fight. If I can get in a fight and I get injured and be all right, I'm going to want to look for the next fight right away, because I love fighting and I love being in the gym and I love training. And that's me. I just don't like to take too long off. So with my arm, you know, I'm forced to. So I guess it's helped. I mean, I guess it's good for me now, but I mean, it depends on how the fight goes.
Okay. So like right now, are you feeling like, can you train and stuff with your arm being fractured, or do you have to just stay off of everything for 6 weeks?
I can still train. I can still run, do some cardio, still work on my kicks, probably work on my jab, I'm going to do everything that I can do with one arm, you know. I'm not going to stop doing anything.
So what's...
Today I'm going to go train.
So what's your training regimen like every day? Like, what do you do?
It varies. I wake up in the morning and go for a run. During the evening time, I'll be at the gym, training for at least 3-4 hours out of the day.
Wow, 3 or 4 hours. So basically you do this full time now?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Cause now, was there ever a point in time where this was like part time, where you were like Alana Jones, you know, accountant at day and then like hands of stone at night?
Yeah.
What was that
yeah,
like?
I had a full-time job, and then I was going to school too, and I was trying to do training. It was hard. You know, it was very hard. It was working. I'm already tired from getting out of work, and then I'm going straight into the gym. So it was hard.
Now, are you coming to work with, like, bruises and black eyes? And
Yeah, it came to place. I worked at a Verizon, and it came. I had to come in. I did some sparring, some hard sparring at the gym, and then I had to come to work with a black eye. So it's kind of like I got to tell people what I do now because I don't want them to think, oh, my boyfriend just beat me up. So it's like, okay, people are looking at me weird, so I'm just going to tell them. Okay, look, I'm a fighter. You know, my boyfriend didn't hit me. I was fine, and I got caught, and I got black eyes. It's all right. Stop staring at me like that.
I feel like they would give you more respect around the office, for one, you know?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you fight? You don't look like a fighter. And I'm like, oh, what's a fighter supposed to look like?
Right. And then also, you know, the idea of, you know, nobody coming over to your desk, like, what the fuck are those reports, Alana? It's like, that gotta stop. You know? She might mess around and backhand you. Next thing you know, you're in HR. Like, you don't want none of that.
Yeah, I mean, I had those customers that I really wanted to drop pick them, but, you know, can't do that.
Can't
be nice.
Right.
I sold their customer once they leave, though.
Right. I like to do, you know, hey, man, why don't you come back after hours? We'll have a little talk about this if you weren't approving of your service there. You know, the other thing, too, is like I had a friend. His name was Derek. And well, I have a friend. He's still my friend. His wife, back when she was just his fiance, she used to do competitive Taekwondo. And she got caught with like a spinning heel kick to her eye. And it was black for like a week or so. And they went out to dinner, and he said the waiter kept like being like, ma'am, is everything okay? Do you need, you know, you need anything? And like, you know, not saying anything to him, but just kept
looking. A hint, you need me to call 911?
Right. You need some help? Is, you know, I'll get them in here, get them off of you. But, he said that was pretty awkward. And you know, walking around with a wife or with a fiance with a black eye. Now you mentioned your boyfriend, who also, does MMA. What was his name again?
He's a boxer.
Boxer.
Nick the Man. Nick the Man.
Okay. So, and what's his nickname?
They call him King Demon is his nickname. King Demon.
I love it. How did you meet him?
As the words he would say.
Now, how did you meet? First of all, two things about him. Number one, he has the coolest picture on Facebook for his page.
That's yeah.
Like the trainer is working on him, and he's looking dead in the camera, like "How you like me now?" And I like that. But how did you meet Nick King Beeman?
Just through fighting. And on Facebook, I think I seen one of the sites on YouTube and some friend requests. And it just kind of went from there. We were friends for a little bit and then talking and, you know, occasionally flirts here and there. And it just kind of like, bam, we're together now.
So you didn't like show up while he was sparring or training and challenge him to one-on-one for his love, like love and basketball, but with love and fighting?
No, that was kind of after.
Oh, okay. I feel
that was
like
after we were friends, I'd go to the gym and I would train at the same gym he was, and then I even sparred him once before. By the way, I did win. Otherwise, but I won.
So you won an O on him?
Yeah, I'm 2-0. Well, he 2-0. Got me the last five. Yeah, he got me. I missed that. He got me. I'm 1-1. And we gotta do it again.
Tiebreaker. Gotta have
it. Yeah. But it's fun having someone that's involved in the sport as you and as serious as you. They have the same passion as you, trying to go far and make the a lot easier. You know, we have a lot in common, and that's it.
I feel like I just broke a lot of dudes' hearts and stuff, and I'm sorry, fellas, but, you know, this is my job as a journalist. I got to get these questions.
Yeah, I am with the King's Demon. King's Demon. I guess that makes me the queen.
Now, could you date someone that was not in, like, competitive, you know, competitive sports, you know, if any, you know, not saying anything's gonna happen, but, like, you know, now that you've been with somebody else that kind of shares your passion, could you see yourself being with anyone of a different type, like, that just, maybe they're just a computer programmer or something?
No. I mean, I have dated, you know, before that wasn't fighting. I mean, it's just get jealous that I'm rolling with, you know, I might be wrestling around with other guys from jealousy, but I can't see myself with anybody else.
That's dope, man. And I'm glad y'all are happy, man.
We got something real special going on, so I'm not going nowhere.
Now
we're not going nowhere either because I got in a chokehold. So
now, whenever you get in an argument, do you ever, like, you know, have to flex up on them? I mean, because I, you know, that could be some, like, knockdown dragouts in there.
No, I don't do that. Keep still, man.
Well, they do say that, you know, a wife has to be submissive to her husband, but, like, in this case, like, you could actually submission, like, each other. Like, it takes on a whole different meaning, you know, when you can, like, put somebody in that chokehold.
Right.
So, like, what does your family think about, you know, your career choice to, you know, to be a fighter? Because I'm assuming that, you know, they probably didn't see this coming necessarily your whole life, and then, you know, now it's like, look at her, she's on TV, she, you know.
Right. My family, it's a lot of fighting that comes, it's a fighting background family. My grandpa was a prize boxer in the army, you know, and that's where my brother get his name from. They call him a bone crusher. And it's my, like, I don't know, I used to always love watching boxing on TV growing up. And my family is very supportive. My mother loves it. She loves turning on TV and hearing about her daughter, Hazel Stone. Anytime we go anywhere, she makes sure everybody know I'm Hazel Stone. And then all my brothers love that I'm doing it. And I mean, me and my brother Victor, we do it. And we train together. I spar with my brother all the time. We support each other. I mean, everybody just loves it. All my aunties back in Detroit, Nancy, they love it. Everybody watches it. So, I mean, it's good. It's good support.
So that must mean all your brother's girlfriends have to act right, because, you know, that is the big threat.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. Let me go get, don't have me go get my sister. I'm not going to lay a hand on you, but I'll go get hands of stone.
You know, back in high school, when we went to school there, me and my two younger brothers, they used to tell people that anyway. And everybody, I was quiet. And everybody thought I was kind of mean for some reason, because I was just quiet myself. Mm-hmm. But I know why they thought I was mean, because my brothers would tell them that, like, yo, my sister, when you go get my sister, she'll beat your ass and she'll do this. And I'm like, why do y'all tell these people that? Like, they really don't think I'm just a terrible, mean person.
But now they probably look at you and they go, like, man, I'm glad I didn't say nothing, you know?
Right, I'm like, not even nice. I am nice, but I'm not like that. I don't really kind of go after their girlfriends and beat them up, only if they do something wrong.
So
I just like to talk to them and sit them down and be like, what's the problem?
Well, you know what? That's even scarier. Like, it's more scary. Yeah, it's not, like, the people that, like, talk the most aren't really that scary to me, because normally those people don't really want to do nothing, you know? It's like, if you watch basketball, it's like a basketball fight. Like, people talk a lot, then everybody gets between them, and then once you're between them and holding them back, they start being like, no, let me go, I'm a, you know, but they don't want to fight, you know? They would have just hit the guy.
Right.
But the people
they
that, like,
want to talk so much to make it, the other person scared, and then they'd be like, whew, that was close.
Right. The scared, the now the people that are calm, those are the scary, the people that are like, why did you do that? You know, can I talk to you for a second? Like, that dude is scary to me, because that person is taking it serious, and they're not trying to make a spectacle. They're just trying to probably mess you up. So I remember on Twitter one day, do you know Charles Oakley is former basketball player?
Yeah.
All right. Well, he's known around the league for laying hands on brothers. Like, it's not a well kept secret that he has laid hands on many an NBA player over gambling debts, over junk talking, all kinds of stuff.
Dang.
Yeah, he don't play that. So he got on Twitter, right? And I thought it was a fake account. So I was talking trash to the fake account, you know, like, oh man, this ain't no Charles Oakley. Well, you ain't got to do nothing or something. And he didn't talk any trash to me. He just replied back to me and was like, what's the problem? Why you say that? And it was just the seriousness of that reply that scared the hell out of me. Like, I'm from Charlotte, and he was an assistant coach for the Charlotte Bobcats at the time. So he was in my city. You know, so I apologized immediately. I said, I'm sorry, sir. I did not realize this is a real account. I thought it was a joke. And I want to just tell you right now, I sincerely apologize. And, I did not mean anything I just said. I've never gotten a Twitter altercation since, but yeah, that it's serious when people just want to talk. So I think if you tell these females, hey, I just want to talk about what you did to my brother, they'd probably be more scared than if you showed up trying to swing on them. Now, what music do you listen to before you get in the ring? Or do you listen to music? Do you have like a pre-fight ritual?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I just be in the mood that I just want to be in a quiet space.
Mm.
But if I do, I usually just listen to R&B.
R&B?
Yeah.
What? Like what? Like, give me an example of a song you would listen to before you go out there.
I'll probably have some Trey songs in playing or something. Or like, even like jazz. I don't know why, but I just listen to R&B. It depends on if I'm in like in a relaxed mood and just want to stay there,
mm-hmm.
I'll put on some R&B.
Wow. I just picture like some Keith Sweat or something, like just like, I just can't imagine like somebody sitting in the background, like, nobody, baby, and then coming out there and laying hands on you, man. That's hilarious.
Yes, sometimes.
So how do you?
Sometimes I have my days where I just want, I might listen to some maybe some heavy metal stuff. It just depends on what my mindset I'm in.
So what? How do you pick your song that you come out the ring to?
I like to pick something that's gonna get me hyped up.
Mm.
That's mainly how I pick it. My last song I walked up to was Rihanna, "Go Hard." I go hard in the cage. I figured it would be the right song to walk out to. But I'm not really so like big on the walkout song. I don't really think it matters what song I walk out to, because I'm already set and, you know, I'm already ready. I already got it on my mind that what I'm going to do once I get in there.
Yeah, I guess. And at that point in time, like, adrenaline's probably starting to rush. So it's like, can you even really hear it? You know, like, you know, it's just like it's going. But, you know, like you said, it doesn't really have anything to do with the task at hand at that point.
Right.
Yeah, I think I would come out to Down For My Niggas, because that song always gets me hyped. That beat with that dun 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 dun, like, I think that would make me want to fight somebody. And then and plus, every time I was ever in a club and they played that, somebody got in a fight. So either maybe tear the club up, you know.
You see, that's fighting song. Everybody heard it. Hear that automatically.
Yep.
I'm out.
Right, yeah.
I'm out.
Right. Can I get my tab, please, before y'all get into this no limit mix?
Just for a second.
Right.
Let me walk out the door.
Lil Jon and that shit is always like, all right, guys, y'all have a good night. I'm gonna go out here where it's safe.
And y'all, Lil Jon always yelling, so then that gets my mad right there.
Yeah, and then Lil Jon be making you want to fight, because the songs are instructional. So they tell you what to do, and it's always like, throw your hood up, throw your hood up. And then the next line is like, you know, look over there and say, fuck your hood. And it's like, well, you know, that's going to make people fight Lil Jon. You can't be telling people to do that. But he does. He still does.
Yeah, it
worked. Right. So another thing too, you're like, I was looking at your track record. This is your first time coming off a KO. Is it different than, you know, losing by decision? Is it the same? Does it not matter? Like, you know, how does it, you know, did you have different effects in your recovery? Like, how's that feel?
It's just, like, coming off a KO is like, it's like you down for a little bit. Like, you know, nobody, I never wanted to, you know, lose a fight like that ever again.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, it hurts the soul just a little bit. It's like, oh man, I can't believe this happened to me, type of thing. But, you know, it, after like the next day, I was fine. I was good. I'm like, okay, loss is loss. And get back in the gym or, you know, whenever, and fix my mistakes and get back at it.
So you think KO feels different, like it feels worse than the decision, I guess?
Well, yeah, because in the decision, I mean, it depends how, whether how the decision goes. I mean, you can lose by decision when you should have won the fight. Then that would probably hurt me a lot more. I mean,
okay.
But this fight, I clearly lost. So, I mean, it's just no fighter wants to get in the ring and take a KO and lose like that. Nobody does.
So
it hurts for a little bit.
So KO is kind of like getting dunked on in basketball. It's right. Just, it's 2 points, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like that. You know, like I've seen some dudes that got dunked on and it just looks like they just, it's like their whole heart just fell out of their chest.
Yeah.
And I used to play ball myself, so I've seen it happen. But it's kind of like that.
I was going to ask you if you played other sports growing up, but yeah, I think that probably be the best comparison, getting dunked on, because the end of the day is just 2 points, and that's what everybody tells you that has been dunked on. You know what I mean?
I've done the same thing, guys. Like, I crossed them over so bad and laid up on them, and they're all like, oh, she's a tricky girl. Oh, that's a good feeling.
Right, exactly. And then, and what it is, though, is, like, after you score, like, there's always those people that are like, yeah, she crossed them over, but it's just 2 points. And that person is always the person that got crossed over. It's never all the people running around screaming. So you know it matters. It does matter.
After that, I'm the only girl on the court. So nobody, no guy. And it's been like this since I've been playing ball, wherever I go. Nobody guards the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And when they give me the ball and I start making three-pointers and making all these shots, then everybody want to get mad, like, guard her.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. No, I'm the opposite. First of all, I'm the fat dude at the basketball court. Although I am way better than, I don't know, 97% of fat people that play basketball. I'm still fat, you know, so it matters whenever I do something. So if I cross somebody up, people go insane. Like, you got crossed up by the fat dude, and it matters. But I understand the hierarchy of the court, which means, whenever I check a woman, I am harder on her because I know that if you get scored on by her, it's going to be worse. Everybody just goes crazy for some reason, you know?
Well, I think nowadays, like a lot of guys got more respect for women that can play ball now.
Mm-hmm.
So, because women can ball now.
They can.
Just as well as women can throw bows now. So, we get more respect in the sport.
I will talk trash to a woman. I gotta get her out of her game. Like, real talk. If I block a woman's shot, I will say something like, that's why Chris Brown my favorite singer, or you shouldn't even be allowed to vote. Just, you know, something, you know, get back in the kitchen. Get back in the kitchen is a good one.
I might have to tackle you, like, next time you go for a layup, I'm gonna push your ass.
Yeah, that might happen, you know. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I...
Elbow and boom, there. How you like that?
You gotta say something, because it's too late once they know that you just talking trash and you can't do nothing about it, they start toasting your ass, it's over. You can't come back to that gym. So you gotta be proactive. protect yourself, you know.
Yes, so.
Fellas, if you're out there listening, take this advice, man. I'm telling you, do not let her get the upper hand on that court. You'll never get it back, you know. She be talking about that day she toasted your ass for years. Like, oh, I remember I got 6 points on you. Everybody was laughing. So basically, did you just play like basketball as your other, like your sport growing up, or did you play other sports too?
Yeah, basketball was my main sport growing up. I started getting into, in high school, I started doing on track and field, but basketball was my sport.
So, now another thing is once you get to this level of fighting, you kind of have to have like sponsors and there's like all these other responsibilities that come into it. You probably have to get like a manager.
It's a lot as far as the business part. I mean, there's no way a fighter can handle all that on their own and still focus on training. And it's a lot of stress that comes with it. You know, I try to do it in the game, but you know, it don't work.
How did you go about finding a person that could be a manager and handle all those kind of responsibilities for you?
I just went with somebody that, you know, I'd known before. A friend of mine, directed me towards, Pat Wilson, which he's my manager now. And he's been doing great for me, making me some really good fights. So, I mean, he's got me to deal with CFA. That's how I went by it. It's like, you gotta make sure somebody you can trust.
What is the process? I'll put it like this. When you were doing it yourself, what was the difference between like trying to get a sponsor on your own and trying to get it with a manager? Like, is there a big difference?
I think it is a big difference. I mean, a lot of promoters and people won't even like talk to you if you don't have a manager.
Wow.
To talk for you. And I believe, and then sometimes you can get taken advantage of if you don't have a manager that knows the business aspect a lot better than you. You know, you can get taken advantage of, not get paid what you're supposed to get paid, you know, or, you know, things like that. That's why it's good to have a manager. And then it's very stressful to try and deal with all those things, plus worry about training, and plus, you know, worry about your diet and that stress itself. And then you add all that stuff on top of that, and it's way too hard.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I can imagine. Cause especially when you're trying to be a fighter, like everything it takes into account. There's your recovery, there's your workout, there's just a ton of stuff. Your diet, like, it's already more than a full-time job. And then to be like, all right, man, so is it $100 or $200? That would drive me crazy, man. So do you feel like as a female in the sport, are there more hurdles? Are there less hurdles? Like, because I mean, for the, you know, like I look at it kind of like, stand-up comedians, where there's not a lot of women that are stand-up comedians. So there's always this perception of like, well, getting up on stage is the hard part. And then, you know, if you're funny, even if you're not funny, people will notice you because, hey, it's a woman and there's not very many. Or is it, you know, the opposite where it's like, yeah, well, there's not many because it's harder for us to even get up here. So, you know, how is it for a female fighter?
It's a lot easier now. People are starting to recognize when it's MMA, and people are starting to recognize that we are just as good a fighter as a man. And I believe a lot more people love watching a female fight than a male fight, because I think it's more exciting to people to watch, because it's something you don't see a whole lot. We're starting to see it a lot more, so it's a lot easier now getting into it. You know, it's not a lot of women in MMA, and people are looking for women in MMA, so it might be a little more easier than a man, you know, trying to get out there, because it's so many dudes that's trying to do it, and there's very few women that's trying to do it. So it could be a lot easier for us, you know, female fighters than a male fighter.
Well, I guess that is kind of true. It's not like I'm trying to interview any of those dudes. So, and I have watched like men fight, but, there's also that thing where like, it works both ways. Like, I'm never going to watch, a male on male fight and be like, he looking good. I'm going to see if I can get him on my show. But at the same time, I know there's a ton of dudes that are like extremely sexist about, you know, fighting, and they like are really down. They don't even like that, you know, Dana White is trying to incorporate, you know, females as the main event and stuff. Like they kind of have this push against it. So, you know, I feel like it can work for you and against you, where on the one hand, it's like, wow, look at these ladies out here fighting. And then on the other hand, it's like, get these ladies off my stage.
But I think that's going to be, you know, I know it's a lot of people that's like not guys that don't think women should be even fighting, which is fine. But there's a lot more people that think otherwise more than them. So, I mean, I know some people, some guys might come around, but like, well, you know, it's not, I don't mind watching women fight. Mm. And then some guys can be like, oh, I hate it. You know, it's going to be a lot of haters out there. That's all right.
Well, as a fan,
it's gonna keep going either way.
Right. And as a fan, I'm glad that you get the love, you know, because like I always worry about that when people are in positions like this where, you know, you're representing a lot of people, honestly, you know, because there's not a lot of women fighters and stuff, there's got to be a ton of girls that look up to you or, you know, say, I might want to do what she's doing. And it's cool when that kind of love comes through instead of just, you know, the negativity. And then the last question, do you like look at any of the other like female fighters that like I see Ronda Rousey, Gina Carano, they're kind of crossing over, like trying to do movies and stuff. Like, do you ever look at that stuff and go, maybe one day down the road I can have those kind of opportunities?
I would like to have that opportunity.
Yeah, because I mean, it's crossing over and people are getting famous, and you know, if it's something that you're already doing, how long do you think you can, you know, get up in there and throw them hands of stone on people? Like, you know, how long would you give it?
I believe that I can keep doing this until I'm at least 50, hopefully.
All right.
But, and I'm just trying to go as long as my body will allow me to do it. And then if it gets to a point where I can't do it, I mean, I would like to, you know, just give my knowledge to other women and guys. I mean, it's really cool because that, like you say, a lot of people look up to me. I mean, it surprises me how many guys that look up to me. Like, mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like, oh, I'm a female and they actually look up to me and me fighting. And I think that's real cool. Like, it's an honor. And I'm like so happy that I have that much influence on people, and I want to keep that and keep it all positive.
Yeah, could you see yourself being a trainer one day?
Yeah, I could see it happening.
That's dope.
Very soon, actually.
Well, thank you so much for doing this interview, Alana. Like I said, I know my homeboy Chris is gonna really be jealous of this interview. But I appreciate it. I wish you and I wish you luck in everything that you do. Of course, shout out to Nick King Beeman. I appreciate his picture on Facebook. I think everyone should go find it because it is hilarious. What is the best way for the people to contact you? Is it Alana Jones on Facebook?
Yep, it's Alana Jones. You can contact me on Facebook or you can hit me up on Twitter, GamesofStones_1 on Twitter. And that's the two basic social networks I use to I put fight info and all kinds of things on there, so you can, you know, send me a message, say hello, I'll reply back.
Cool. Well, I will keep my eye on your page, and hopefully we can see you know, when the next time you're gonna fight, and I'll try to see if we can get a bunch of people to watch it, because it is a pleasure to watch you fight. And you know, not just, you know, as just, you know, looking good, but just technique and, you know, getting in there, and, you know, it really gives me a rooting interest in the fight. I'm like, let's go, you know, knock her out, Alana. So I really appreciate you taking the time to do it. No problem. No problem, man. And I, you know, hopefully we can get more people to follow you on Twitter and all that stuff too. Everybody make sure you go check her out. Thanks people for listening to another episode of Medium Talk. We will be back shortly with another interesting person that you guys want to hear me talk to. So until then, we'll talk to you guys later. Peace.